I think far too often, Christians today, and even in the time of Jesus, act way too much like this cartoon that we see here. You may not be able to read it because it was pretty small, but I would read for you. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Would you pray with me? Our amazing Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for guiding us to the presence of your mercy and grace. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Scripture and the words that are contained. We're thankful, Father, that we have the hope to be with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ. Right now, Father, we ask that you would be with us and give us a spirit of love and commitment to you and to each other as we look to you for all things in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at three examples this morning of some individuals in the New Testament that maybe just didn't understand it or didn't get it quite right. If we look at what we're going to do, I put the sign out earlier this week, are you a chicken or are you a pig? And I love what Dina put on Facebook about that. She said, I will be happy to answer you this question on Sunday. I hope I get the right answer. I've been mindful of Dina this week, as Rich said in the prayer this morning, and what she has gone through and what she is going through now. And I hope that if you have an opportunity this week, that you can spend some time with her. Even if you go sit with Gerald for a moment, she can take a break. She won't want to leave. She'll want to be there with you as well. But I pray that we flood her this week with love and devotion, because this is the time. The first one we want to look at is found in Acts 4 and verse 32 through chapter 5 and verse 11. This story of Ananias and Sapphira starts off in a very unusual way. And if we look at the scripture, the first part of the story is a story of very good things that are happening. Now, Andrew, go ahead and put the text up here for us right now, because it says, and all the believers were one heart and mind. No one claimed to have any possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales, and they put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here's where the story starts. The church at the time is seeing things that are going on. They are all in. We heard that term. They were all in their devotion to Jesus Christ. They were all in their devotion to setting the gospel on a path that it should be. And the story is written that Joseph, Barnabas, his very name meaning son of encouragement, sells a piece of land and brings it. Well, you know, Barnabas said, I don't need this land because I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go on this mission trip, or I'm going to go on this mission trip. I don't need this land sitting here going to waste. The apostles can use this money much more. But in every situation, we know something bad can happen. And what happened here was just that. The next part of our story turns sideways because there's a man by name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, and they see what's going on. And you picture the time. Here's Barnabas. He gives this money. What is he going to get from the people that are around him? Praise. He's going to be lifted up. There's going to be an article written about him in the bulletin. Great Barnabas sold land and brought to the apostles' feet. And here we have Ananias and Sapphira. And they want to get a chunk of that. And we go into chapter 5. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept part of the money back for himself. But he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. You see, the problem that we have here is that Barnabas set the example very high. Barnabas set the example of service and devotion and dedication and said, this is where we need to be. This is how we need to serve. This is the way we need to do it. Not by what he was saying, but by what he was doing. He wasn't doing it for the praise. He wasn't doing it for the glory. He was doing it for the glory of God. And Ananias saw that, and he wanted some of that. We're going to call it this morning that unmerited glory. He didn't want to work for it. He didn't want to earn it. He just wanted it. Ananias lied, and he put himself in a position to where the Holy Spirit judged his heart right then, right there. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias learned that story. And in the next few passages, his wife's going to learn the same story. But let's look at another example. The next one that we want to look at, go ahead and skip forward there just a little bit. We have our rich young ruler. We know the story well. I'm not going to go and read it for time's sake at this point, but in Mark the 10th chapter in verses 17 through 22, we see a story of this man. And it says, what one good thing must I do? And I love the translation that is used there. What one good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? You know what that passage reminds me of? Now you may think this is kind of funny, but do you remember the story City Slickers, the movie with Billy Crystal? You know, my favorite character in there was Jack Palance. You know, this old crusty cowboy, and he's got his cowboy hat on, and he's got that cigarette coming out the side. It's always there. I mean, I used to smoke, and I could never do that. I could never leave it there because it would get up in my eyes, and I couldn't handle that. Nevertheless, that's another story for another time. But you remember what he did? The conversation they had after Norman the calf was born. Billy Crystal is on a journey. He's trying to find himself. You remember what Jack did? It's this. It's that one thing. It's that one thing in life that Billy Crystal was looking for to give him happy. And with everybody, it's different. But I said that one thing that is being talked about here can be on the negative side too. What is that one thing that is going to keep you out of the kingdom of God? What is that one thing that is going to keep us from serving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind? What is that one thing that we are so dedicated to and so devoted to that we don't want to become a true servant in Jesus Christ? A true servant that is laying down his life every day, that is taking up his cross every day, as we're told to in Scripture. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he wants to know the one thing. He wants a pat on the back. He wants to know, what can I do to make sure that I'm going to go with you? And Jesus, knowing the heart better than anyone else, the heart maker, tells the heart holder, yes, I do know the one thing. Sell everything you got. Sell everything you got. And then come follow me. Do you remember what the passage said? It said he went away sad, for he had much. his one thing was so important to him that he was willing to sacrifice eternity for it. Let's call that undeserved reward. And the scriptures just say that his face fell. He got a very sad look on his face. And he went away. And he pouted. He was upset. But I want us to look at one more example. I want to look at the example of Simon the sorcerer. And it's an interesting story. And in Acts, the 8th chapter, it's one of my favorite passages because later on in the passage, we're going to see this wonderful dialogue and interaction between Philip, a servant of God, and the Ethiopian eunuch. And, all of a sudden, Philip's going to be on the side of the road. And I wonder, how many people are wandering on the side of the road? Is this traveling preacher, maybe? But he's going to pick him up, and he's going to get in the chariot with him, and he's going to tell him about Jesus. But before that happens, we have this story of Simon the sorcerer. And Simon, like many others, is believing in Jesus Christ. He was baptized. He was in the church. He was doing the work. He was doing some of the stuff that was going on. But if you look at the passage there in Acts the 8th chapter, he was pretty proud of what he had been able to accomplish. With amazement and wonder, it says, that people looked at what he had done. He was a magician. I don't know if it was sleight of hand. I don't know if he just had some special gifts where he could do something. We've all seen those guys. I go to the trade shows when I was in the window business, and a lot of times a manufacturer would have a magician or a sleight-of-hand artist that would be out there to draw a crowd around their booth. Once they get the crowd there, then I can start telling them about my windows. I can start telling them about what I have to sell. But there was this one guy, and he could actually make a coin go up from his hand, from the bottom hand to the top hand. He had so trained his hands and his muscles that he could pop a muscle on this hand and you could not see the coin go up into his hand up here. He did the whole act where he took and he said, pick a card, any card. We've all seen this. And the guy picks the card and he takes it out. He gives me a Sharpie. I still have this card in my office. He gives me a Sharpie and I sign my name to it. He takes the card, he puts it in a little tiny manila envelope, and he places it in his pocket. About 10 minutes later, he said, oh, I forgot about that card. Where's that card? Where's that card? Oh, it's not here. It's not here. Hey, Lee, check your back pocket. You want to guess what was in my back pocket? That manila envelope with the card, with my signature, and I said, Simon had this power. But then he saw something else he wanted. He saw the power that the apostles had to lay their hands on someone, and then once they laid their hands on that person had the power to also give the power to others. And he wanted that. He wanted it so badly. And the apostles come to him and said, keep your money for yourself. We're not going to do this. Well, of our examples today, what we see here is Simon wanting that unauthorized power. He wanted the power of Jesus Christ, but he didn't want to do what it took to earn it. He wanted the power that came with knowing that the name of Jesus Christ is the name above all names, Acts the 4th chapter. And the name in which no other name we must be saved. The name that grants that power to his believers. He wanted the power. He wanted the glory. He wanted what was there. But Simon does things different. He was convicted, by the words of the apostles. And he asked for prayers. Something happened in this story that didn't happen in the other two stories. Something happened here that Simon says, I've made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Would you please pray for me? I like to end on a happy note. And this is one of those happy notes. Simon didn't suffer the consequences for his actions. He realized the power of Jesus Christ in mercy and forgiveness and love. He realized the power in the name of Jesus Christ that says, I love you so much that I will sacrifice myself for you. He realized that Jesus said in that great speech, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well said, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well thought, good and faithful servant. Reach out to my preacher friend Jonathan Stormont for bringing this week at the Pepperdine Lectures. He said, God said, well done, good and faithful servant. So I asked the question this week, are you a chicken or are you a pig? We think about it. We think about the passage from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, that says, be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of duty. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God, His good and holy and perfect will. You see, my friends, the chicken made a contribution to the meal. But the pig made a sacrifice. Are we contributing to the meal? Or are we sacrificing for the meal? I have another story to tell you. But to tell this story, being a USC Trojan fan, I have a hard time talking about the Irish. So to counteract the story that I'm going to tell you, I got to put on some USC colors to tell you the story about Rudy Rudiker. We've all heard the story of Rudy. We've all seen the movie. Now granted, I know we got some Eagle fans in here. If I ever tell my story on Vince Papale, I'm going to have to be up here in Randy White boots and a Roger Staubach jersey and my Tom Landry hat just to get through the story. But there was one part in this movie, and it tears me up every single time. Rudy, the actor, Sean Austin, which is a great guy, he goes to the priest that is there at the Notre Dame, and he said, have I done everything I can do? He wanted more than anything. He wanted more than anything in his life to be a student at Notre Dame. He wanted to run out of that tunnel, and he wanted to do that more than anything else. And more than that, he wanted his brothers and he wanted his father to see him do that. He wanted the glory because he wanted to work to do it. And he came to the one who he thought could help him, the one who had a connection with a higher power, the one who could pray for him. And he said, have I done everything I can do? And we know the story. The music changes, and he walks down the hall, and he goes to the post box that's there in the school, and he takes the letter. And the music gets more dramatic, and he gets a little bit louder, and he opens the letter, and you see his lip start to quiver as he's reading the words that are on there. You have been accepted. What happens when we get that letter? Our brother Rich did an amazing job last week. And he talked to us about the Apostle Paul and his passage from 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 and 8. And he said, I have fought the fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. That's when Paul got his letter. He got his letter and he opened it up. And it said, well done. I got a place for you. So the question I have goes back to the question I asked this week. Are you a chicken or are you a pig? Or are you a chicken that wants to be a pig? Or you don't even know the difference between ham and eggs and you need some help. The elders are here to work with you, to pray with you. We are here to show you the path to grace and mercy that Jesus Christ has. Are you asking the question, have I done everything I can do? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you put aside your wants and your wishes? Have you put aside the things that are distracting you? Have you put aside this, that one thing, for this, the only thing? And we're going to sing a song of invitation. And this is a song that is used to make us think about our life, to make us think about who we are and what we do. If you're here today and you need Jesus Christ, come and tell us. We'll pray for you. If you're ready to put Jesus Christ on in baptism, the baptistry is ready. The elders make sure of that. We have clothes upstairs. We can make it happen for you right here, right now. And all the angels will rejoice. Are you walking in the power and the grace and the majesty of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Because if you're not, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. It says tomorrow may be too late. Let's all stand now and sing as we praise God.